All right. You want to continue this evening and dealing with the names of God. And, of course, you remember over past weeks we saw the primary names of God. And then you remember we began looking at the compound names of God. We started by seeing those compound names that begin with the word El, which speaks of God's strength or God's power, and so we saw some of those, and then we began looking several weeks ago. We began looking at those compound names of God that began with Jehovah, and you remember we saw that while the names that begin with El speak of God's strength, they speak of God's power. The names of God that began with Jehovah actually speak of His character. They speak of His character. They speak of His actions. And so far we've seen six of them. And I've got them there for you. Can you fill in the blanks without any help? Okay, we'll review it together, okay? The first one is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord provides. Very good. He provides for us physically, provides for us spiritually, Jehovah Jireh. And then we saw the name Jehovah Rophi, which means the Lord heals. Very good. The Lord heals. Again, He heals us physically. He heals us spiritually. The Lord heals. And then we saw the name Jehovah Nisi, which is the Lord our banner. Very good. The Lord our banner. And we saw how that He is the one who leads us to victory. Again, physically, spiritually. He's the Lord our banner. And then we saw the name Jehovah Makedesh, which means the Lord who sanctifies. Very good. The Lord who sanctifies. Again, setting apart physically and spiritually for His honor, for His glory. And then we saw the word or the name Jehovah Shalom, which is the Lord our peace. Very good. The Lord our peace. Again, physical peace, spiritual peace. Okay? The Lord our peace. And then last week we saw Jehovah Sabaha, which is the Lord of... Huh? Are you sure? Okay, I was just checking. Yeah, the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of armies, you remember, has to do with warfare. And again, he's the one who leads physically and spiritually in the battles that we have to face in our life. Well, now we're going to come to another one of those compound names. And you know, all of these names, I guess if you stop and think about it, all of them at some time or another in our life are going to become very precious. At some time in our life, we're going to face circumstances where we need God on a level that is found in one of those names. But I suppose probably one of the most precious names that has been the greatest source of comfort for many is the name we're going to look at tonight. It's Jehovah Raha. Jehovah Raha. And so let's begin by noticing letter A, the usage of this name. And when we deal with the usage of the name, this name is only found one time in the Old Testament. It's only found one time, and that's in Psalm 23. And I imagine that all of us can probably quote the verse together. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And that's the only place where this name, Jehovah Raha, the Lord my shepherd, that's the only place where it's mentioned. Now let's notice the meaning of it. The meaning of it. Now we of course know the name Jehovah is God's personal name. It declares that He is the self-sufficient one. Remember, that's what Jehovah means. But when we consider the second part of that name, we find that the word Raha is actually been translated in our Bible. It's been translated several different ways. For example, in Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 2, it is used to speak of one who is a keeper of sheep. That the word Raha, it's used in that way in Genesis chapter 4 verse 2. A keeper of sheep. And in Genesis chapter 27 and verse number 7, that word Raha is used to speak of one who will feed sheep. one who will feed sheep. In Genesis 46, verse 34, the word Raha is actually used to speak of a shepherd. It's used to speak of a shepherd. In other words, bottom line is simply this. The word Raha actually has to do with one who tends to, or one who oversees the care of, sheep. That's what it means. That's what it means. And of course, that's the very name that the psalmist gave to the Lord God in Psalm 23:1 when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. Now you'll notice in your King James Bible, you'll notice that little word is. You'll notice it's in italics. Okay? It's in italics. What that means is that the translators added that word in. It's not in the Hebrew text. They added that word in because they were men of character and they were honest in dealing with the Scriptures. A lot of the new versions, they make changes and you never know they changed anything because they don't let you know they changed anything. In other words, they're dishonest in handling the Scriptures. But these were men of character. They were honest. And so whenever they would add a word, they would always put it in italics. So you would know, hey, we added this word. It's not in the original languages. But we have added it in order to make it easier for you to read. It makes the reading for English-speaking people to be a little bit easier. And so there's two reasons why the word is was added. First of all, as I said, it makes the text easier to understand, but also it preserved the name of the Lord God, the name Jehovah Raha, which simply means the Lord my shepherd. The Lord my shepherd. By putting it in italics, that name is preserved. You know it's the Lord my shepherd. The Lord my shepherd. Now let's notice letter C, the instruction that this gives to us. The instruction. As we consider this name in the context where it's found, there are seven things that David is going to reveal to us about the Lord who is our shepherd. The seven things he's going to show us in this text is going to give us some instruction about this shepherd that we have in the Lord God. And so, first of all, I want us to notice the first thing that we learn here concerning our shepherd, and each one of us can say this, he knows me. He knows me. In Bible times, a flock of sheep, there could be 10 animals, or there could be hundreds of animals. They were all different sizes. But a good shepherd would know each and every sheep that was in his flock. He would know each one of them. Now, during Old Testament times in the nation of Israel, the Lord God was generally looked upon as the national God. He was the God of their nation, okay? That's why, for example, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel," talking to the whole nation, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And so it's like the national God. But here in our text, David declared that the Lord God was not just the God of the whole flock of Israel. Rather, he was the personal God with whom David enjoyed a personal relationship. That's why he said in verse number 23, or chapter 23, verse 1, the Lord is, notice it, my. Personal thing. Personal relationship with the shepherd. If you don't have that personal relationship with the shepherd, then nothing else is going to apply to you that we find in this text. It has to begin right there. So the question I would ask you right at the very beginning, do you have that personal relationship with God? Do you know He is not just a shepherd? Do you know He is your shepherd? That's the question. Do you know He's your shepherd? David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. He knows me." Number two, not only does he know me, But now that I have this relationship with Him, number two, He satisfies me. He satisfies me. In other words, He provides for my every need. He provides for my every want. That's why in verse number one, after saying the Lord is my shepherd, he then follows that by saying, I shall not want. I shall not want. Now, sheep obviously cannot voice out their needs, okay? Sheep can't tell you what they need. Sheep can't tell you what they want. They try, but whatever they say, it always sounds like bah. You know? It always sounds the same. They can't tell you what they need. They can't tell you what they want. Yet the shepherd will naturally know the needs of each and every animal in his flock. He watches them. He knows what they need. And in the very same way, the Lord my shepherd, David said, knows what I need. He knows what I need. And not only does he know what I need, but he provides what I need. By the way, the Lord Jesus spoke of the very same thing. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, last Sunday in the Sunday school hour, we talked on the subject of Jesus teaching on prayer, if you'll remember. And we went to Matthew chapter 6. Notice what he said. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. When ye pray, here's what Jesus said, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. Now here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. For your Father knoweth. He knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. In other words, the Lord my shepherd, even before I come to Him, He already knows what I need. Well, some people say, well, if He already knows what I need, why pray? Why pray? Did you ever think like that? Don't sit there and look at me so pious. I know you did. You say, how do you know? Because I did too, okay? Why should I pray if God already knows? Well, first of all, because He commands us to pray. And if we don't pray, then we're disobeying God, right? He commands us to pray. But also, there are many times God knows what we need, but He withholds the need in order to make us to pray. To bring us to a place of prayer. And so He teaches us that He knows what we have need of. And since He knows what we need, there are two things that are mentioned that you'll notice in the text. Number, letter A there, little a, green pastures. Green pastures. Now, in the Bible lands during the summer and fall months, rich green pastures are very plentiful during those times of year. However, shepherds, any other time of the year, would have to lead their flock from place to place to place to place to find good food, to find good pastures for their animals. But David declared that the provision of his shepherd, the provision of the Lord God, was not seasonal. It was not a seasonal provision. Rather, it is constant and abundant. That's why David said in verse number 2, He maketh me to what? Wander around looking for green pasture, right? No, He makes me to lie down in it. It's all around. It's not seasonal. It's not on one day and off the next day. It's a continual provision, green pastures. Not only does He supply the want for green pasture, but He also supplies still waters. Still waters. Now, if a sheep, while drinking from a river that had a swift current, and most sheep don't even like to get around that, they tend to stay away from it. But and the reason is because if they're drinking from a swift current, and they were to slip on the bank, or if one of their partners was to come up and bump them and knock them into the water, you know, then the problem is that animal would be in grave danger. And here's the reason why. Sheep know how to swim. They do know how to swim. But the problem is, if they get in a rushing current, because they have a thick wool coat, they're probably going to drown. And so therefore, David declared the provisions of his shepherd. Not only were they continual, but they were safe. Notice what he says in verse number 2. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leads me beside the still waters. And so we see number 2 then, he provides. He satisfies me with provision. Number 3, he restores me. He restores me. One writer has noted this. He said there are many characteristics that sets sheep apart from other animals. They are dumb. Now, I didn't say that. I'm reading, okay? I'm quoting this guy. They're dumb and innocent creatures incapable of defending themselves. That's sheep. To add to that, unlike dogs, for example, you know, you take a dog, you roll him over on his back and, you know, and rub his belly and he'll, you know, and then as soon as you let go, he's back up on his feet running around, right? You have a cat. You can't put a cat on his back. No matter how high or how low you drop him, he's always going to land on his feet, okay? But a sheep, once he gets on his back, he's kind of like a turtle. He just lays there. He can't get up. Once he gets on his back, he cannot get up unless somebody comes and helps roll him over and get him back up on his feet. So therefore, if a sheep in a flock was to stumble, fall, get knocked over, whatever, fall over on his back, that animal is in serious trouble. He's in serious trouble because he can die like that, either from starvation or from dehydration, or he can die because there are a lot of predators out there looking for a sheep who's on his back and can't get up. There's predators out there that would seek an easy meal off of that sheep. And so therefore, a good shepherd is one who is constantly scanning his flock. He's looking out over the flock so that he can see each individual animal and see if there's any that have fallen down. They're on their back, can't get up. Now, sometimes there's a big flock. He can't see each individual animal. So what does he do? Well, he watches the sky. Because you see, in the sky, there will be vultures up there. Vultures have a unique sense. Not only can they sense something that is dead, they can sense something that is in danger of dying. And so they just circle around waiting for death to come, you see. So the shepherd will watch, and he'll watch for those signs. Now here's the point. David declared that his shepherd would see him when he fell on his back into sin. David declared that his shepherd would then immediately rush to lift him up, and that's the very meaning that he's talking about in verse number 3 when he says concerning his shepherd, he restoreth, not my body, but he restores my soul. Talking about the spiritual part of David. He restores my soul. And so we see he restores me. Number 4, he guides me. He guides me. Because sheep are dumb animals. They are very prone to get lost. They're very prone to get lost. They're prone to get on a path that promises to be the easy way, and then they end up coming to a tragic end, and they don't have enough sense to know the difference. They just kind of meander on down the path till they go over a cliff or something, you see. And so a good shepherd will know which path is the best path. All right? A good shepherd will know which path is the safe path. May not be the easiest path, but it'll be the best path. may not be the most convenient path, but it's the path that's going to lead to the desired destination. And so because the shepherd knows those things, the shepherd will never just send them down a path. The shepherd will physically go before them. He will actually lead them. Remember, sheep are stupid, okay? I'm sorry, they are. Sheep are just not they're not the brightest bulb in the candelabra. And so therefore, they would constantly, without the leader, even if they're on the right path, they would keep wandering to the left side or wandering over to the right side and eventually get themselves into all kinds of trouble. And so therefore, the good shepherd, he leads them. He leads them. And that's the very point that David is making. In verse number 3, when he says concerning his shepherd, what did he say? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Notice, if a shepherd did not lead his sheep and they were lost, then the name of the shepherd would be humiliated. The name of the shepherd would suffer shame. Oh yeah, there's a shepherd. Man, we sent him out with 100 sheep and he came back with 3. You know. What a dumb shepherd, right? And so for his name's sake, you get the idea? For his name's sake, he leads his sheep in the path of righteousness and the way that they ought to go. Number five. He protects me. He protects me. Now, there would be times, as a shepherd would lead his sheep, that they would come to a valley, or they would come to a deep ravine that was filled with dark shadows, filled with frightening shadows, filled perhaps with dangerous enemies. But even in those places, the shepherd would lead them and the sheep could proceed with confidence because they understood, they knew that their shepherd knows the way. He's been there before. He knows the way that they ought to go and he knows the dangers. And he's able to overcome all of those dangers. And so David declares again his confidence in his shepherd. Verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the shepherd is with me. That's why. Because the shepherd is lead, he knows the way. By the way, our shepherd does know the way, right? He went through that valley of the shadow of death, went out, came back on the other side, and showed him, and he said, hey, I know the way, follow me. And I'll lead you safely through. And that's exactly what David is talking about. He leads us. He protects us in those frightening, dangerous times. Number 6, he comforts me. Thy rod, verse number 4 says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now the rod and the staff were actually the same instrument. But rod refers to one end of it and staff referred to the other end of it. Okay? The rod part is talking about that bottom end, okay? The bottom end. And this bottom end, I'm glad, Lillian, you brought this stick. I've enjoyed using it several times already. But the bottom end was this end right here. It's the straight end that the shepherd would carry. And so that bottom end could be used in several ways. First of all, it was used for defense. Okay? It was used for defense. In other words, if a predator comes and tries to get one of the sheep, then he can poke it with a stick, make it run away, see? He could use it to defend. He could use it for defense, to defend his sheep. He could use it for inspection. He could use it for inspection. For example, as the shepherd was going through his sheep, he could use his rod. And he could kind of lift up the wool on that sheep to see if there were any cuts or bruises or abrasions or any problems that were with that sheep, any rashes or things that would cause that sheep to suffer. And so he could use his rod sort of to inspect the sheep. So it was used for defense, for inspection, also used for counting. It was used for counting. As the sheep would enter into the fold, the shepherd would watch as the sheep came through. And as each one came by, he would sort of tap it on the back and count the sheep to make sure that all of his sheep were present and accounted for, that none of his sheep were missing. In fact, in Bible times, Leviticus chapter 27 and verse number 32, this thing of counting the sheep was actually referred to as passing under the rod. That's what it meant. He would pass under the rod, and the shepherd would count the sheep. And of course, if any were missing, then immediately he would go out and search for that one that was lost. So that was the bottom end, this part. But on the other end of that instrument, there was a crook. There was a hook, okay? And that top part, that top end where the crook was the part that the shepherd would use when he had a sheep that was prone to wander away. And he could reach out with that hook, and he could hook it by the neck or by the leg or what, and pull that sheep back to where he ought to be. Now, when David considered each of these things, it's no wonder that David said, "Thy rod, down on the bottom end, and thy staff, that top end, they are a comfort for me. They're a comfort for me." Notice number 7. He promises me. He promises me. At the end of the journey, a good shepherd would bring his sheep safely to the fold. And when he brought them safely to the fold after being out on, being led through the journey of the day, he would bring them to the fold where the sheep would find a plentiful provision. He would bring them to a fold where all of their bruises that might be discovered, all of their injuries, their hurts, their scrapes, their bumps from falling down and all of that, that could all be treated with the anointing oil, healed with the anointing oil. When they came to that place, they would enjoy all the blessings of simply being home. Simply being home. And David declared his faith in the very same promises of his shepherd. Notice what he said in verse 5 and verse 6. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That is Jehovah Raha, the Lord my shepherd. That's what he does. That's what he does. Now, let me remind you what the Lord Jesus said. In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus said this. He said, "I am what? I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd." And then what he says about himself, "The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." The good shepherd gives his life. In other words, Jesus Christ is our Jehovah Raha. He is our shepherd. He gave his life so that all of the blessings that David enjoyed might be ours as well. They can belong to us. That therefore we can say, just like David said in Psalm 95 verse 7, "He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand." Do you have that relationship with Him? Do you know Him? And if you know Him, are you a smart sheep following the shepherd? Or are you one of them other kind? How is it with you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you.